L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Live and in living color in Nashville, Tennessee, this is The Six. Good evening, everyone. Connor Newt, Sunshine, Parker Kelly here with you, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. A lot of Titans to talk about, a lot of football in general to talk about. We're going to get into it all over the next hour. Parker Kelly, how are we doing this evening?
Connor, I am fantastic. More football on our TVs tonight. I heard, I was walking past the TV and I heard the Monday Night Football intro, and I suddenly got chills up and down my arm, and we're close, man. We are close.
We're very close. Speaking of football that's not the NFL, quickly before we get into the Titans, your thoughts on the ass-tastic release known as the Tennessee Vols Smokey Grays today?
I don't like the gray on, I wouldn't even call them white. It's more like an off-white cream shade. If you're going to do it, I prefer all gray. And just, you get down to the bottom of the uniforms, the cleats, the white socks on the gray cleats. I just prefer all gray. I thought the detailing was good in the jerseys, like having the stadium on the side and the General Nealon patch and the interlocking UT with the old Adidas logo. I liked all that. I just didn't like the cream or the gray on cream. So I would fix that. And I'd put the interlocking UT on the helmet instead of the stripe.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of the stripe. It's funny because Frazier and I were just talking about this yesterday. Hand-painted football helmets are some of the coolest things in this planet. And you have a hand-painted football helmet with this uniform, but it just doesn't look good. We were talking yesterday about, did you see Boise State's new helmets that they're going to wear this year?
I actually didn't.
They are gorgeous. They're hand-painted. It looks sort of Denver Bronco-ish, but it looks like a hockey goalie mask, to be honest with you, in terms of the art style. But they're gorgeous. These just don't do it for me. I'm not a huge fan of Tennessee in general, but this is my unbiased opinion. I'm not a huge fan of the smoky grays. I think you should just go away from that and stick with the dark modes as your alternate, because those are awesome. But these are just, I think they're mid at best, as the kids say.
Yeah, see, I don't mind the smoky grays. It's just when you change it up every year, you don't know what you're going to get. And sometimes it's going to look bad. Sometimes it's going to look good. Most of the time within recent years, it's looked fairly not up to my standard. I think Nike got it absolutely right, having the light gray and the dark gray.
Yeah.
But also, too, think about it, you're Tennessee, like your basketball team has cream uniforms, your baseball team wears cream on Sundays. You could do that, you could do all cream uniform, or you could play into the Pat Summit light blue and have a light blue uniform as well. It'd look way better than what Florida State does.
Oh, with the turquoise?
Yeah.
That looks horrible. I think that's so dumb. It's not even their colors. I don't really understand that.
I don't get it either.
Well, something we do get is Tennessee Titans football. Practice tomorrow, joint practice with the Seattle Seahawks, and a game on Sunday kicking off on national television, mind you, on Fox at 7 p.m. Tomorrow, though, is sort of the main course, I feel like, because you're going to see the starters play in the preseason game, but you're not going to get the full experience of best on best. Tomorrow, you're going to get that in practice. So I think there's a lot of storylines going into this based on what we've seen so far. Cam Ward at the forefront of that conversation, and we'll spend some time on Cam Ward here in a little bit. But tomorrow, Parker, what is your number one must-see as they go up against the defending Super Bowl champions?
I'm going to do a pretty poor job on this segment because I'm going to state the obvious, but I want to see how Cam Ward does. I know we're going to get to this a little bit later, but I heard Dan Orlovsky talking about him earlier on NFL Live. And he's basically saying what I've been saying on Next Man Up. There were some things that Cam Ward did that I just can't defend. And usually I've been a pretty big defendant of Cam Ward, and I'm certainly going to be a big defendant of quarterback development just because I feel like there's no patience with it nowadays, especially in the NFL. Everything is so instant, and we have to have an answer on Cam Ward this year. We have to have an answer on him next year too. And, you know, it's just not the same as old school development. And with quarterbacks, it's never linear. It doesn't matter if you're Sam Darnold, J.J. McCarthy, Patrick Mahomes. They've all had different ways of development. So for Cam Ward, you're going up against a better defense. San Francisco doesn't have a bad defense, but also in that joint practice, they weren't at full strength. With Seattle, everybody is pretty much at full strength in that joint practice. So I want to see how he handles that. I want to see how he handles the decision making, making the easy throws when there's a layup, hitting it with accuracy and not missing him by 5 yards. Those are some things I'd like to see.
Yeah, that's something we're going to spend some time on for sure, because the Dan Orlovsky quote, I think, is pretty substantial and pretty much summarizes kind of the things we need to see. I would flip it over to the other side. You're going against arguably one of the best wide receiver trios in the league. You've got Jackson Smith and Jigba, Cooper Kupp, and Rashid Shaheed. Those three are lethal. So my must that I have to see is the corner room needs to step up. We need to see corners on both sides, Alante Taylor, Cordell Flott, we'll even throw Marcus Harris in that situation. Even the safeties, Kevin Winston, Amani Hooker. We need to see the secondary as a whole take a step. We need to see them make some plays. I don't want to watch them just roll over and take it all day long and let Sam Darnold cook on them and let your defending offensive player of the year and Jackson Smith and Jigba burn you for God knows what. We need to see at least some competency out there for the secondary. We need to see some plays. I would take an interception in a heartbeat. I would take some pass breakups. We need to see something that shows that they're willing and able to compete at an NFL level against starters, because I don't think we saw that last week. And even then, against San Francisco, best on best in practice, San Francisco was missing some key starters. So we need to see that corner room take a significant step. I'm not saying they need to show us that they are a lockdown unit and they are probably going to contribute to the best defense in the entire league, but we need to see them make some plays. And if they don't, then the concerns are only going to rise.
I think with this joint practice, you're really this team overall, and I know Seattle's secondary is not as deep as it was last year. You know, Reek Woolen is now a member of the Eagles. Kobe Bryant is on the Bears. He's hurt this year. He's probably going to miss the entire regular season. But, you know, they're bringing in guys. They've signed Terrion Arnold, but he's on the NFL commissioner's exempt list. They brought in Trayvon Diggs. They're going to sign him as well. So they're scrambling around to find some added depth for their secondary. But overall, this defense is going to be the best defense that they'll face in the preseason. That's not exactly a groundbreaking statement, but really, if you flip over to the offensive side of the ball, you were just talking about the receivers and Jackson Smith and Jigba, who's, you know, top five receiver in the NFL, might even be the best. Cooper Kupp, who's won 2 Super Bowls, been around a long time. You go down the list here, and it's just better across the board. So you either have to respond from a pretty bad performance in San Francisco, even though you won the game technically,
yeah,
or you look bad again. There's really no gray area.
Well, you make a great point on the other side of the ball. It's a Seattle corner room that is a bit dwindled. You've got injuries there. Obviously, you're going to go up against Devin Witherspoon, but they've got Trayvon Diggs, who they just signed. I don't think Terrion Arnold will be out there, but they're trying to get him in because of the lack of depth that they have. So for that, you need to see the wide receivers make some plays, and a lot of that hinges on how is Cam Ward throwing the ball? Is he communicating? Is he connecting well? But the wide receivers in general, let's hope that Carnell Tate's back out there. He was held out of practice yesterday with some tightness, but it sounds like he's okay. You need to see the connection between Cam Ward and the receivers start to be more prevalent, and that's something we didn't see on Saturday against San Francisco. You saw it a little bit, but there were throws that Cam needed to make, and a lot of that is on Cam, but some of that is on is the communication right? Are the receivers doing their job? We need to see that. And I think there's a pristine opportunity for that to happen with these corners for Seattle being out and the lack of depth that they have here. So It would be nice to see a day where we just hear coming out of practice, or in our case, you and I see it coming out of practice. Yeah, Cam Warden, the offense, dominated that defense today. Unlikely, but it's possible. So I think that's something that I'd be interested to see as well, is are the receivers doing their job and taking advantage of lack of substance there on the defensive secondary for the Seattle Seahawks?
Well, we talked a lot. I know in the last show we did together on Tuesday, we talked about Fernando Carmona getting thrown in the fire against Jeffrey Simmons and John Franklin Myers. Well, this, you know, Carnell Tate, this receiving core is going to be thrown in the fire right away, because you're going up against the best corner in the NFL, or one of the best corners in the NFL, and Devin Witherspoon, who just got $100 million guaranteed. Yeah. So, again, this is a thin secondary compared to what they had last year, and Nick Emenwori, their star nickel, is hurt, so he won't be out there. But you're still going to get some pretty good challenges, and Carmona is going to have to go against another one of the best defensive tackles in the league, in Leonard Williams. And this defensive line, again, they're thinner across the board, but still, if you've been watching Hard Knocks, they're still pretty good.
I still haven't watched a second of Hard Knocks. I apologize. But, you know, to each their own. Just not for me. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We got a great show planned for you today. All football, all day long, because this is a show, contrary to popular belief, that knows a lot about football. So we'll keep that going. Speaking of the dwindled corner room for Seattle, Dan Orlovsky had an interesting point today on Cam Ward and how he can improve and how he needs to look towards having a better week this week than he had last week. We'll play that coming up next. But with that dwindled corner room, how can Cam Ward show some simmer? Let me try that again. Show some shimmer against the Seattle Seahawks, the defending Super Bowl champions. We'll discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025, our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here with you on the 6 here on 102.5 The Game.
As disappointed as I was out of anybody's tape in preseason week one, I'd say number one, Cam's played enough football in the league already to have cleaner eyes. This is a sail concept up top. When he gets that safety at the bottom of the screen to rotate and those defenders lift, this should be an easy throw to that corner flattened. Instead, it's a scramble, and I think he gets 1 yard out of it. Cleaner eyes, that ball should go there 100 out of 100 times. Number two, no easy misses. It's hard in this league to play quarterback. This is an RPO that nickel fires. That means throw the bubble. He's wide open. This is Wandell Robinson. That's an easy throw. You can't miss this. The third one, are we being competitive or careless? The defense has won the rep here. Everybody's covered. Competitive or careless? Because careless, hold on to the football, run backwards, try to float the ball away. That's a intentional grounding penalty. It's preseason. I'm not overreacting. But you do want to see much improved play in week two from Cam Ward to at least spring this offense into the regular season. Because if he takes a step, Tennessee is going to be a very competitive football team, but they got to get him to play better.
There you go. That was former NFL quarterback and ESPN analyst Dan Orlovsky today on NFL Live, talking about how Cam Ward looked last week, how he can take steps to improve. Welcome back in. This is The 6. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here with you on 102.5 The Game. And Parker, I'm not a huge Dan Orlovsky guy. I think he plays a little bit too favorable to the fan side of things. And that was a fan take, but I agreed with most of what he had to say there. I really appreciated his breakdown of the plays. Obviously, it's radio. You can't see what he was talking about, but he really did highlight the defensive zones and how the coverages looked and how Cam Ward could take advantage of those pressures and those coverages and things like that. So I did really agree with that, but ultimately it boils down to Cam Ward was bad last week, wasn't impressive. Now you've got a tougher challenge this week with the defending Super Bowl champs coming into town, and you quite simply have to be better. But something that I want to harp on here. We talked a little bit last segment about Seattle's corner room. Not a lot of depth there. You've got a lot of injuries. You're going up against Devin Witherspoon. But outside of that, kind of guys that are you could just find off the street. Maybe a little bit better than that. They're NFL players. But you understand what I mean. So with that being said, are we poised for an area where Cam Ward, or a week where Cam Ward can improve in that aspect with his connection with his receivers based on who's on the other side?
I don't think he's, you know, this Seattle defense is still not, I mean, they're not a, you know, a bag of chips or anything. They're
right,
not
right,
a sack
right.
of potatoes. They're still they won the Super Bowl last year for a reason, and a lot of those main pieces are back. So they're thinner, yes, but I think it's a step up in competition for Cam Ward. So just because they're not going to have, you know, some of these guys in their secondary, I still think that doesn't change anything for Cam Ward. That doesn't change how he prepares for joint practices for the preseason game. That shouldn't change his mentality. And knowing Cam Ward, I don't think that it will. But everything that Dan was saying is spot on about Cam. It's hard enough playing quarterback in the NFL. So when you have layups, and there are going to be plenty of them in this offense with all the option routes that Brian Daboll likes to run with everything underneath, there are going to be layups. So when they're there, you got to hit them. You got to hit them on first down. You got to hit them on second down. And if you do that, it makes third down a lot easier. So that's what Brian Daboll, I think, with in installing all of these concepts, is trying to get through to Cam Ward. And there was a play against San Francisco last Thursday where he hit Tajay Spears on a check down, and it went for a big gain, and he picked up the first down. And, you know, he went through his progression, found the check down pretty quickly, he processed it quickly, and it ended up working out for him. I just hope that Cam Ward doesn't get bored making the boring plays, because as a quarterback, you're going to have to make a lot of boring plays. The great ones always do. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, they made the boring play over and over and over. And when they needed to put on the cape, when they needed to make a big play, when the team needed it most, they delivered. That's what Cam Ward needs to do. He has the ability. He has the big play ability, but it doesn't need to be all the time. And don't get bored making the boring plays.
I agree with you. I think sometimes with Cam Ward's game, I feel like he's searching for the home run. And it's okay to hit a single every once in a while. As long as you get on base and you make things effective, that's what happens. And in the football terms, if you're completing your passes, if you're connecting with your wide receivers or your receivers in general, or even affecting the run game as a quarterback, you're doing the right thing. Cam Ward, I feel like last week against San Francisco, tried to do too much. The play that everyone immediately thinks of when I say last week is the intentional grounding play. He was trying to do too much. He was looking for the home run hit, and in doing that, in the process, he held on to the ball too long and got it out, but it was intentional grounding. At that point, just take the sack. Cam Ward needs to get down to the basics, get to the simplicity of football, because football is a pretty easy game if you think about it. You have pieces in place that allow you to do the boring stuff. There's a reason Wandale Robinson was brought in. He works well across the middle, as you and I both know. He's your safety blanket at the receiver position. You have Gunnar Helm, who as a tight end is physically designed to be a safe blanket for a young quarterback. And if you want the home run plays, you've got guys that are capable of doing that as well. Not that Wandell and Gunnar aren't capable of doing that in their own right, but you draft Carnell Tate. You have Calvin Ridley. You have Alec Iomaner and Chim Dike, guys that are capable of making the big plays. But you're right. I think you're absolutely right in that Cam Ward, it's okay to search for the simple stuff. And the Seattle defense, as you mentioned, they're no slouches. I say that they have a dwindled corner room, but this is still a Super Bowl roster. This is still a Super Bowl defense at that. Just get ready for the pass rush. The offensive line's going to have a stiff test this week as well, because that's a lethal, lethal front line for Seattle. But for Cam Ward, it's about maintaining composure. It's about finding the simple plays, and like I said, you don't have to hit a home run every time. It's okay to bunt on base. As long as you work and you get there, then that's what's going to happen. So we have to see some Cam Ward simplicity things, I think, in order for us to get to the place where we're like, yeah, he's a big play threat, but he manages the simple things well. That's kind of what a term that is used negatively, but has been brought up a lot this week because of Blake Bedingfield. That's what a game manager does. A game manager allocates for all aspects of the offense, the simple plays and the big ones. If Cam wants to be a decent NFL quarterback, or even if we want to push it to the superstar moniker, he's got to be good at the simple stuff. Once you get good at the simple stuff, the rest of the game will slow down and become so much easier for you. So I agree with every word you said, Parker. I think he's got to find a way to manage the small stuff, and then we can get to the big stuff.
I really enjoyed the conversation with Blake Bettingfield the other day. I thought he was spot on with what he was saying. And I've been saying this for a while. I don't know why the term game manager gets such a bad rap.
Right.
Tom Brady was a game manager. Drew Brees was a game manager. And Drew Brees is a first ballot Hall of Famer, and Tom Brady's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. So I don't understand why that has a negative connotation attached to it. It's not. It's if anything, it's a compliment. Being a game manager, being a really good game manager in the NFL is hard to do, and that's what they're trying to instill into Cam Ward. And when Brian Daboll was brought on as the offensive coordinator, just because you had the success with Josh Allen fixing him doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be replicated with Cam Ward or replicated in the same way. But it's a source of hope, and it gives the fan base faith that he can instill into Cam Ward, hey, take the layups when they're there, and then when you need to put on the cape, you have the ability to do so. And that's what he thrived at Miami. It's where he thrived at everywhere, is making those out of structure plays. But from now, we need you to be a pocket passer. We need you to hit this drag, hit Wan'Dale Robinson in the flats when he's there, hit him on the bubble screen, don't miss him by a few yards, hit him in the hands. Don't throw a piss missile, just give him something he can catch.
615-737-1025. Let's go to our text line. 0474 says, wasn't that one of the issues with Will Levis? Huh. Someone from the hours of 6 to 7 p.m. has been saying that exact same thing. But the Levengers, as we're calling them, keep coming after him. Will Levis is another quarterback that just cannot get it through his head that you have to be okay making the simple plays and you don't have to be Superman every single play. That's why he's not going to succeed here. That's why he's not going to be the starting quarterback. And for those of you I see in the text line saying already that Cam Ward is a bust, it just shows me exactly what you're talking, what you feel. It's not factual. Not yet, anyway. We have to give Cam Ward time. And this is going to be a test for him this week. But let's also remember, as Dan Orlovsky says, and as I'm going to say right now, it's preseason. Nothing is final. No hammer is dropped in the preseason.
Yeah, was it a good performance by Cam? No,
mm-mm.
No, it wasn't on Thursday. But that's also not a means to freak out, too, because I mean, it was 1 year, one preseason game. Wasn't encouraging? No. Have I always been encouraged by everything I've seen in training camp? No. But I'm also not ready to make any declarations either. I mean, weren't people calling Sam Darnold a bust after, year two in the NFL?
Yeah. I mean, he's a bit of an extreme because he's a reclamation project. But still,
correct.
The point stands.
But my point is QB development is not linear by any means. It doesn't matter who you are. And, again, I haven't always been encouraged by everything I've seen from Cam Ward. I thought he responded well in Saturday's practice, the practice after they got back from Santa Clara. So that was good. But now we just need to see it in a game. But I'm not ready to throw in the towel. Am I concerned? Maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm not throwing in the towel on Cam Ward.
Wes in Clarksville asks, how long do they give Cam? 2 seasons, question mark? I think you give him the rest of this year. For sure. Now, if we get to the trade deadline and we're still having the same conversations we've been having all week about he's just not doing the simple stuff, he's not effective at passing the ball, even with the system and the pieces around him, then I think we can start to have the conversation of maybe he just wasn't worthy of the number one overall pick. But we can't have that right now because we don't have the substance in year two to provide that analysis. We've got to wait and see how it goes in the regular season. But to answer your question, I think they give him the rest of this year for sure, and maybe even into next year. He's the number one overall pick. You're going to give him
– He's going to be the quarterback going into the new stadium.
Absolutely. You're going to give him every opportunity possible and then some to prove that he is a franchise quarterback because you invested so much into him with the number one overall pick. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Coming up next, a potentially chaotic development in the world of college football. We will discuss up next after the break. Parker Kelly, Connor Newt here with you on 102.5 The Game on the 6. Welcome back in. This is the 6 here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here with you talking football. And Let's switch gears here a little bit from the NFL. A potentially catastrophic situation going on in college football that has broken, I believe yesterday the news broke. A judge in the state of Louisiana has approved the right for some former class of 2022 college football players, 16 of them, I believe. They have been given temporary restraining orders and are eligible to return to college football. Now, the problem with this lies in many of them are competing on NFL rosters for a spot and making a 53-man roster in the NFL. We're seeing the same situation in college football that we had in college basketball last year. Great. NFL football players are making their way back to college football because they can't cut it in the big leagues. Parker, how catastrophic is this situation for college sports?
Well, the NCAA kind of did this to themselves when they opened the Pandora's box of, you know, in June, players now get 5 years to play 5 years with little exceptions, which I honestly didn't hate. In fact, I kind of liked it.
Right.
I thought it was a good, good compromise. So one of the few times that I'll compliment the NCAA on that, but you also had to have some sort of understanding at the same time that the seniors that just left to go to the NFL who weren't going to be superstars, that probably weren't going to be drafted like your Jack Pyburns, who played at LSU last year, signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, had a couple of sacks last week versus the New York Jets. If he comes back to college and is able to get another year and make infinitely more money than what he'd make this year if he even makes the roster for Tampa Bay, from a player's perspective, I totally understand wanting to come back if you're not a star in the NFL. But again, the NCAA, when they made this ruling, they had to know that this was going to be brought up. And it's a good argument, because if I was a player in the class of 22, I'd also want to be like, hey, why don't I get a fifth year? If everybody else is getting a fifth year, why don't I get a fifth year? It's a good argument, but the coaches have the ability to, you know how very rarely I compliment Dan Hurley in this aspect, the UConn head men's basketball coach.
Yeah.
When all that was going on in college basketball with Charles Bediako and players coming from the G League, Dan Hurley just flat out said, and I'm paraphrasing here, we don't have to do this. So the same applies in college football. College football coaches don't have to accept, if you've played in the NFL, even if it's, you know, preseason practice squad, whatever, we're not going to bring you back. It's really that simple. But on a side note here, the NFL has never really been affected by the mess of college football until now. Now it's really starting to affect them. I wonder if the NFL tries to get involved in any way. I don't imagine they will, but it's starting to affect them, and it's starting to shave a little bit of the depth as you get later on in the NFL draft when you get to day three, rounds 4 through 7. That same depth that you might have had in previous years, not really there anymore. So I wonder, now that it's affecting the NFL, if they want to get involved at all.
I wouldn't if I'm the NFL. I would stay as far away from the mess that is college football as possibly you can. Because why would you get involved in that many lawsuits? The NFL is a very protected organization. They don't like to out themselves in a lot of trouble. It's the whole reason we have this concussion thing that they conveniently separate themselves from, the CTE stuff. They're a very, very independent and protected organization, and they know that because they're the most popular organization in the United States. There's no way around that. So if I'm the NFL, I stay as far away from this mess as possible. I let the NCAA deal with their own crap because, like you said, they brought this on themselves. They opened the door, and it's a good rule. But you had to know the repercussions of your current graduating seniors going to come back and say, well, why didn't I get that? It's the same reason you have all these guys in the NBA doing the same thing. Charles Bediako, the kid that went to Baylor, whose name's escaping me. They know. Yes, James Nagy. They know they can't cut it in the big leagues, and they know that if they come back to college football, A, they're going to get playing time, and B, they're probably going to make a lot more money there than they would in the NFL because we have minimum contracts. And they also know that contrary to what Dan Hurley says, and I actually agree with what he says, someone out there in the 138 FBS teams is going to try and capitalize on this. Because what's stopping UNLV from forking over money and getting a proven defensive tackle to elevate that roster? Nothing. There's no guardrails. There's no restraint. There's no rules to be broken because the NCAA hasn't put these in place. Now they're going to try and combat it and try and appeal. But as we've seen, the NCAA is rather powerless in these situations. And ultimately, it comes down to the government and the courts. All you have to do now, if you want to play college football, is find a judge who will grant you a temporary injunction. Because these people aren't going for the clearance. They're going for the temporary injunction, because if you get the temporary injunction, you can play up until your hearing. And they set that hearing until after the season, so it doesn't matter whatsoever. That's what Brendan Sorsby was trying to do. It's a mess right now, and it's catastrophic because it's such a pain to watch a game that we love be turned into a corporate mess, an illegal mess. And honestly, I just don't see the light at the end of the tunnel yet. I don't know how this is going to get better. Now, we have the Protect College Sports Act that I think was denied, but there's going to be some revisions to it, and hopefully we'll get something like that in place. But there's just no light at the end of the tunnel right now. It is truly the wild, wild west.
Yeah, and I've almost kind of gotten numb to it. It's kind of like with Lane Kiffin. Like, when Lane Kiffin decided he was going to leave Ole Miss and go to LSU, one of the rules that I have for myself is no matter what headlines may break about Lane Kiffin, I'm not going to be surprised by it because it's Lane Kiffin.
Yep.
Same thing with the NCAA. You know, they get taken to court and they lose. I mean, their record in court is abysmal. And with this, you know, ruling in Colorado about, you know, allowing the class of 2022 to have a temporary injunction to play this year, Indiana gets two of their defensive linemen back from last year, which bolsters already loaded defense. And now this thing in Louisiana that allows NFL players to be able to come back if they want to. I'm just not surprised by it. But I will say this. When college football gets here and games actually start being played, we're not going to be thinking about this stuff. But there are no games right now to distract us from this, so we got to talk about it. It's a pretty big deal. But college football is resilient, and despite the mess, and there's a lot of it, it's been able to thrive at a level. I don't think college football ratings have ever been higher, and that's despite this NIL thing that started 5 years ago and everything that's happened since. College football is still the second most popular sport in America.
Absolutely it is. And it's because of the tradition and the pageantry that comes with it. But things like this hinder its, I don't want to say relevancy, but its pageantry. It hinders the value that college football holds in the common American person. Because, I mean, it's always going to be the second most popular sport, especially in this part of the country. We're in Southeastern Conference football area of town, people. The SEC is king down here. But even nationwide, you're seeing a boom in the ratings of college football. But they just can't stay out of their own way. They've created this mess and this Wild West environment that it's hard to see any improvement coming anytime soon. I'm always going to love college football. I know you always are too. But it's getting so political and so unruly that sometimes it's hard to love. And I think that's the point that this case has made for me. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. One final segment for us here on The 6. Parker Kelly, Connor Newt, we will play Where Are They Now? Coming up next right here on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. This is The 6 here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here with you. Wrapping things up, but don't go anywhere. NFL football is coming up next. I believe a preseason game between Vegas and someone else, but that doesn't matter. We're here right now, and as we wrap things up on The 6, as we do every day, we play our favorite game, my favorite, your favorite, everyone's favorite, as Oprah Winfrey would say, you get Where Are They Now? So without further ado, Let's do it. All right, Parker. I'm coming with a common theme today. So we will start on the gridiron. Pittsburgh Steelers, New England Patriots, Kansas City Chiefs.
Offensive player?
Defensive.
Defensive player. Oh.
A 3-time Super Bowl champ, 1-time Pro Bowler, 1-time first team All Pro. Drafted in 1997.
I know who this is.
Yep.
His name's escaping me right now. I know it. Give me one sec. Oh, man.
Retired in 2010.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to tell you what happened after his playing career because that's an important detail.
College ball?
Not quite. If I tell you where he played, you'll get it immediately. He played at the Ohio State University.
I literally can see his face. I know exactly who this is.
Do you? Are we sure?
Yes. Big muscle man.
He is a big muscle man. Rather fiery. Has a bit of Nashville ties, shall we say.
You said he was drafted, right?
He was, yes.
Oh my gosh. All right. What position on the defense?
Linebacker. Outside linebacker, to be exact. You were struggling. You were struggling way too hard with this. I thought this was easy.
I know. I'm definitely overthinking it.
Yes, you are.
All right, tell me. I'm going to beat myself up after this, but tell me.
The great and almighty former coach of your Tennessee Titans, Mike Vrabel.
Well, I'm an idiot.
So that is our theme today, if you can't tell. Current coaches.
All right. Mine is not a coach.
Okay.
He's entering year 6 in the NFL. Was drafted by the Miami Dolphins. Yep. Played 3 seasons there. Spent the last 2 seasons in Washington. And is now a member of a team that will be in town for joint practices.
Okay, Seattle Seahawk then. From Washington. Let's think here. Miami, Washington, Seattle. It's not Rashid Shaheed, is it? No, he played for
not
New Orleans.
Rashid Shaheed.
He played for New Orleans.
New Orleans.
That's right. Let's think here. Is it a quarterback?
Not a quarterback.
Okay.
Plays on the defense.
On the defense. Okay. Oh, goodness. This is a tough one. It's probably like some fourth stringer that won't even make the team.
He'll make the team.
Let's see here. Let me think here. Is Is it DeMarcus Lawrence? No, he played for Dallas.
Nope.
Is it Byron Murphy?
Nope.
I'm out of guesses then. Who is it?
Played college ball at Auburn.
Well, I'm out of guesses.
Noah Igbinoghi.
Who the hell is that?
You don't know Noah? He was a former first-round pick. Played at Auburn. It was a stud. He ran like a 4-3, and everyone thought he was – or no, actually, he ran a sub-4-3.
You didn't know Mike Vrabel, so I get a pass.
I forgot about the stint at the Steelers. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be honest.
To the hardwood. Indiana Pacers, Milwaukee Bucks, Denver Nuggets.
He's currently on the Denver Nuggets?
He is a current coach. Spent some time at Washington, and then transferred over to the great University of Kentucky. Was not drafted, picked up in 1997. From Omaha, Nebraska.
Well, I don't know the coach of the Denver Nuggets right now.
He is not the coach of the Denver Nuggets, I'll tell you that.
But he's coaching on the Denver Nuggets.
No, he's coaching. Probably in college ball somewhere.
See, I thought he was I thought your theme was coaches, and he coached with the Pacers, then went to the Bucks, and then he started.
No, so no, this is where they played.
Okay, you said he played college at Kentucky,
he
right?
Did. Yeah.
And before that, Washington.
Yep.
Was drafted in the late 90s?
Yes. Second round, I said undrafted. Second round pick in 1997.
Second round pick, and he's now coaching. Man, this is great. We're about to go 0-3 on where are they now.
I didn't think it would be this hard. They're prominent people. You'll kick yourself when you know who this is.
I know. I kicked myself on Vrabel. Yeah, just tell me. I'm out of guesses.
Mark Pope.
You're throwing me off here. You're really throwing me off here.
It's not that complicated. It's where they played, not where they currently coach. What do you want me to describe their eye color?
You didn't mention BYU at all. Where he was at before Kentucky?
I told you it's where they played. He didn't play at BYU. He coached there.
This is bad, man.
Anyways, that's all the time we got. So you need to do some studying.
Seriously, I'm about to go study. I'm about to go study your favorite sport, pillow fighting, on ESPN on the Ocho.
Oh well, stay tuned. I got a podcast on that coming up real soon. Speaking of things coming up real soon, NFL preseason football for the first time this season on 102.5 The Game. That is coming up right after us. I'm currently stalling to get to our out time, and we are there.
What else?
For Parker Kelly and the Air Raid. Don't forget to tune into the Air Raid on our YouTube, where Parker is going to be for the next hour. So do that.
All right, Connor. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, buddy.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.